and gentlemen, welcome to podcast of the week of February 28th, Leap Day. It's actually the day after Leap Day. It's March 1st.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're not in February anymore.
No. We've got a little bit of February in this week.
We're gonna cover some of February.
Oh, I see. We're gonna come of some occurrences. We're gonna cover some occurrences that happened on Leap Day.
Yeah.
So I think that it's fair to say that this is the first Leap Day in the history of the world that UNT has worn an alternate jersey for basketball.
I think that's a fact. I think we can safely say that.
We got to check it. So, Can we get our stats guy
to check that for us, please?
Jim. He's going to get back to us. So really the big news about tonight is that we are introducing a new format for the podcast. We have we obviously have a little bit of a tendency to run long, and we're going to try to keep it shorter here. So basically what's going to happen is we're just going to run down a summary of what the subject matter that we're going to talk about. So the first thing is going to be, not this week's episode, but the previous week's episode. We apologize we couldn't get a podcast up last week. Again, we're working around Julian's.
Yeah, I apologize. It's really all me. You've kind of hit me around midterms.
School comes first. Let's be honest. So, so we're gonna give a rundown of that episode really quickly, and then we're gonna launch into just a question and answer session. Julian and I have no idea what questions we have scripted for each other to ask. We're gonna launch into a question and answer session, and then just make any kind of comments, general comments.
Just see where it goes. See where it goes.
Right at the end, and then we're gonna launch into the next episode and use the exact same format and the same thing for the basketball side, really. So, I think without further ado, and in the interest of kind of maintaining the fact that we want to keep this short, shorter, more succinct.
Yes, maybe more concise.
More concise and more enjoyable for the listener on the go.
Maybe we want you to keep listening after 10 or 15 minutes and think that maybe there's an end to this podcast. And not when you click on it, it doesn't say hour 44 minutes when you click on our podcast.
I think some people are deterred from that. So in order to avoid that, I'm gonna go ahead and jump in. Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna talk about the Bachelor episode, not this past week, but the final 4 week, the hometowns.
Final four.
First hometown date is with Lindsay in Ocala, Florida. You had a lot of horse riding and chariot racing, and we just meet her mom and dad. We don't have any brothers or sisters.
Yeah, apparently not.
It seems to be like a fairly, level-headed, like not too much goes on in really any of these.
Apparently they have a lot of land.
Yeah, they do.
That family does.
And they're big into horses.
Yeah.
From Florida, Ben heads over to Clarksville, Tennessee, where KCB gives one of the most embarrassing intros that I've ever seen.
Yep.
The band and the twirling baton. And then she talks about her grandfather and how the stadium's named after him. Her dad is skeptical, and this is where we get the introduction to her family kind of being slightly more religious, being in the Bible Belt. Ben, I felt that it was a funny joke. He appropriately calls it the Bourbon Belt instead of the Bible Belt because they're in Tennessee. Although bourbon technically is only Kentucky, right? So really they're in bourbon type whiskey.
They're in the whiskey belt.
the Tennessee whiskey belt. So we get some points of contention there. Casey's sister has some thoughts about weighing in on Casey's thoughts versus her parents' thoughts. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And then Ben heads over to Fort Worth, Texas, to meet Nikki's family, where they go boot shopping and don the appropriate attire for that environment, which is kind of a half of his stay there. And then they head over, and we get our first brother who's involved in this dinner, and Nikki's dad and Nikki have kind of a moment that they talk about her first marriage, and then Nikki and Ben have some alone time in Nikki's room, which is I thought that was a smart move, you know, kind of pulling at the heartstrings of, you know, the inner 16-year-old in Ben that I'm sure never was in a girl's room ever during high school.
He certainly likes being in them now. We'll say that much.
He's getting his fair share thanks to ABC. I don't know if he would accomplish any of this on his own. And then from there, we head to Scottsdale, Arizona, which was, you know, I didn't know Courtney was from Scottsdale, but does not surprise me at all. And then we get kind of like, they do the opposite, like they do like the family lunch, and then they kind of have their own dinner, and we get some, the first part of Courtney kind of talking about the other girls and how she is remorseful for her actions towards the other girls.
Yeah.
At that dinner, and then she stages the fake wedding.
Yeah, that's
else had done, it would have been grounds for dismissal. But in this case, because it's Courtney, and we know that Ben's going to choose Courtney, it only enhances her chances of winning. So
yeah.
So let's talk about it. We go to the rose ceremony. There is literally no cocktail party. Straight into the rose ceremony. Yep. And Ben pretty timely manner, you know, chooses Courtney, Lindsay, Nikki, kicking Casey out the door.
Yeah.
So Julian, I guess my question is like, what did you think about that elimination?
I think that it was fairly predictable after seeing the dates, the home dates.
Right.
I didn't feel that way going into the episode.
Absolutely.
I felt that KCB was a top three contender. But after seeing Ben interact with her parents, and their home date was a little bit awkward, especially with the baton swirling. It didn't seem like Ben was super excited about it, and I don't think anyone was surprised after seeing the sequence of home dates that KCB was sent home. What about you?
I 100% agree with you. Before the episode, I thought it was Nikki, but then after watching the episode before the rose ceremony, I was thinking, I really think Casey's going to go home. I really think that she's done herself in.
Here's what I want to ask you. Do you think that Casey, do you think it was completely the KCB's family?
Yeah.
Or do you think it was KCB?
You know, that is the next question that I have to ask you. So again, we're kind of covering our tracks here. I think that it was, at the time, I thought that it was less parents and more KCB. Again, I just think kind of like the sweet girl thing kind of ran its course. But in the next episode, which we'll talk about when KCB comes back, and Ben immediately goes to... Ben goes to... I think we come from separate worlds. I think that the family thing played a really big factor in it. I do not think it was the only thing. I don't think he would have kicked her off if it was just the parents thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would have kept it on and they would have worked through it. So I think that he was just kind of like, you know, there's other girls that I have stronger connections with right now and I need to investigate those and see if my future wife is in this mix of three.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, I think it was just a matter of time. I think there were probably some questions in Ben's mind about what type of girl KCB really was, and he probably was thinking she was that kind of younger, more innocent girl that he maybe wouldn't connect as well
with. Oh, yeah.
And then when he saw the family, he was like, yep, that's what I was thinking, and this confirmed it.
Assimilation of all those things together, he was like, nah, it's not it. Right. So, what else you got?
Okay, so we go to Lindsay's stay-at-home date after that, right?
No. Lindsay's was first. Casey's was second.
Okay. So, I mean, after seeing both Lindsay and Courtney, who are you thinking?
Who we know now are the final contestants.
Yeah. But at the time, who were you thinking had a better stay-at-home date? Better home date?
To be honest with you, I thought the whole thing was kind of bland and neutral, really. Like, mm-hmm. I don't think... one of my questions to you on here was, do you think anybody really helped themselves?
Okay.
I think we can all agree that Casey maybe hurt herself.
Yes.
Is the only one that really hurt herself with the family. But did anybody really propel themselves with their family?
No.
Well,
you know what? I think Lindsay certainly did not hurt herself.
Well, that's not the question.
No,
the
I know. Did she help herself? Yeah. I put it like 55-45. 55 being she helped herself.
She maybe helped herself a little bit. No. I will mention that the one thing that I think might have helped her is Ben makes a comment about her dad. He says something like, you know, my dad's not around. Harry, her dad, is a guy that I could really see going to advice for. So I think that that, I think that that is certainly something. There's certainly something there about that.
And I think Lindsay's parents really kind of liked Ben a lot. And they were very welcoming. They weren't like, Casey B's parents were skeptical. Very skeptical.
They
weren't affirming to Ben. They weren't encouraging him to continue very much.
Yeah.
Lindsay's parents were all about it.
I think
it's kind of that in any relationship, you like the person, but you're going to like them more once you hear that they like you back. And I think with Lindsay, I think her family was affirming Ben to where, you know, it kind of gave him confirmation that it was a good thing that he liked her and that he could see himself with her.
Sure. I'll say that I think Nikki's might have helped her a little bit because, you know, he says that that's kind of a family that he can see himself as a part of. And then they have the alone time in the room where she tells him that she loves him. And, I think that she kind of staged that or segmented that well, in my opinion.
Do you think she did too much or do you think she did exactly what she needed to do there?
I think that at that point in the show, she did what she needed to do. You know what I mean? Like, he's hearing the same thing from other girls. Mm-hmm. She is genuinely confessing that. And you know, I think that if that's what she really feels, then that's where she needs to be. So, sure. That's all the questions I have.
Yeah.
Did you have any other things?
I did not. I had more for the second episode.
Okay, so just general, a couple general comments that I had. First of all, Lindsay's dad was a little crazy, Harry, I gotta say. But not like weird crazy.
I think he knew he was on TV. I don't think he was trying to be cool a little bit.
You know what I mean? He was like fun, like Harry Potter crazy, like kooky crazy.
Okay.
Like he was like, let's go horse racing. We're gonna go to the horse race now.
He might have been the Todd Young. And Ben was just like, okay.
Come on, Ben. Let's race the horse. And he was just kind of like, you know, he was kind of like a character from a movie for me.
And I mean, it is a horse race, but really, like, it's stupid that two people are on there. Only one person is guiding the horse.
Yeah.
And the horses are racing each other.
Right. Well, I mean, horse races is a completely different... Chariot races of any kind.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I think we can debate all day about how much is user and how much is horse. You know
I've had so many conversations
and how much
about
is cart?
That with chariot.
How much is cart? Because we're a little strapped for time, so we're not going to get into
that.
We're
not going to get too much into chariot racing. Should we go ahead and jump into the...
I got two more. Did you cry when Nikki's dad said that he should have been a little bit more protective and not given her... hand away so easily to marriage the first time?
No, I didn't.
You know, they had this super emotional...
Well, I mean, I certainly appreciated it. Did you cry a little bit?
No, I didn't cry, but I was like, oh my gosh, this got real. You know what I mean?
It
like
did.
He was like,
that's the realest I've seen it with the conversation with the dad.
I think that's the realest I've seen this episode of The Bachelor at all.
It has been fairly superficial, actually.
Well, it's not been superficial. It's just been pretty even keel. I mean, we've used that term a lot. You know what I mean?
I know they described it in the promo as the most controversial season of The Bachelor, and it hasn't been. There hasn't been
just
much.
Because
they're
Courtney,
milking Courtney.
Just
they're
because
milking the
yeah,
Courtney
they're
thing.
They're milking Courtney for all she's worth. And then the other dad moment that Courtney, her dad from Santa Monica, he's like, you know, the gambling analogy that he uses. He's like, Ben, are you ready to? To make that game, he's just like this big, like rich cheese ball, like
yeah, I actually
you know, getting married is like a game of roulette, and you put down your money on black or red, and you spin it, and you never know what's gonna happen, and that's just the way it is. All right,
yeah,
you know, you gotta have some balls and get out there and put that money down. I was just like, oh, this guy. So anyway, that's
yeah,
all I got on it.
I hated that analogy.
Yeah,
it's
that's
not,
true. I mean, it's.
Well, no, it's not. It's not a 50-50 gamble. It's not like you go in and then there's a 50-50 chance that you come right. out okay. I mean, you have right. control not, over the result.
Right, exactly, exactly. I agree. Yeah. I agree. All right, so why don't you give us a breakdown of
a quick rundown.
So Mondays. Mondays episode.
Yeah. So they move to Switzerland. Interlaken, the extreme sports capital. There's some discrepancy. It's either of Switzerland, of Europe, or of the world. I've actually heard it being the extreme sports capital of the world. So we're going to go with that. I was expecting a little bit more extreme sports than we got, but we did get a little bit. We got probably the fifth helicopter ride. It seems to be the go-to this season. So Nikki's date, they go on the helicopter ride. They land on a mountaintop. There's a little bit of a kiss.
Pretty standard.
Nikki is kind of pouring out, kind of, she wants a little bit of affirmation from how did she describe it? The big words that were said or something like that?
Yeah, yeah.
She told him that she loved him, so she was just trying to clear the air a little bit. So anyways, I didn't feel like there was a lot of affirmation from Ben, but he was, you know, appreciative. And then, obviously, as it happens every time, they go and spend the night together. After spending a little bit of time in the cabin, he gives her the car. They go spend the night together.
Nikki certainly doesn't shy away from it.
No. And then...
I'm sorry.
No. That's true. I mean, none of them do. And Lindsay is next up. And they do the closest to extreme sports in Interlaken. They do rappelling. I thought the definition of rappelling was to you kind of bounce off of it a little bit, off the cliffside. I don't know rappelling super well, but they basically just slide down a rope from high up, another kind of fear of heights deal. And then they again go to a cabin, and Lindsay as well decides to accept the offer to spend the night with Ben. Surprise, surprise. Then... Then there's Courtney. And they actually don't do anything very exciting at all. They walk around town. Ben's very impressed with her inquiring about the fruit at the fruit stand. And then they have a picnic. And Courtney...
They ride a train.
Yep. And they ride a train. And then, surprise, surprise, Courtney also spends the night with Ben after a little bit of time in the hot tub. And then there is the... huge event where KCB comes back. I was actually a little bit surprised. I didn't think it was going to be KCB. I didn't know who it was going to be, but I didn't think it was going to be KCB. She wanted some answers. Ben kind of gave her answers. I didn't think they were super clear. She also warns him a little bit about Courtney. And then there's the rose ceremony.
Yeah.
After KCB, and KCB kind of sent Ben into a little bit of a spin. He got confused after KCB. And so I wanted to ask you, Gray. I mean, he ends up sending Nikki home. And so I wanted to ask you, what was Ben's real concern here? Do you think he was really worried about losing Nikki, a great girl, or was he more worried about being played by Courtney?
Yeah, no, I think at this point in time, Ben has made up his mind that Courtney's the person that he's going to pick. And so it's one of those things where, like, he's gotten... A lot of warnings, multiple warnings from different girls in different situations, and like in his mind, the logical part of his mind is like, man, that's like, oh, you know, this maybe there's something, like, if Emily wasn't the only girl to point this out, now it's all these other people, like all these different people have said it, then, you know, there's got to be something to it. But on the other hand, he doesn't want that to be the case. He wants Courtney to be the person that he's supposed to be with. He's supposed to win the contest. So, you know, it's just kind of making him, you know, just a little... It's putting him in a precarious situation.
Right.
I think it has nothing to do with losing Nikki.
Okay.
At all.
I don't think so either. And actually, that's my follow-up question is, do you think Nikki could have done anything in this episode to receive a rose in the end?
You know, it's a question. That's a great question, because I think that the real question is, like, you know, I mean, these two girls were fighting for the number two spot. You know what I mean? Like, so, like, why Lindsay over Nikki? Like, sometimes they pick the one that they like more to leave earlier, so that it's like less dramatic in the end. You know, they have like less, you know, like a less like. Difficult goodbye before they pick the person that they want to pick. You know what I mean? Like, I think it would be easier for him to... You could make the argument it would be easier for him to say goodbye to Nikki in the next episode, or Lindsay in the next episode instead of Nikki. But I mean, we don't really know. Like, does he really like Lindsay? Does he really see anything there? And that's why she makes the final two. We don't know. That's my question. That kind of leads into one of my questions for you. Is like, you know, what do you think about Lindsay? Like, you know, she talks about how she kind of has these walls that are coming down, and she's like, I mean, she refers to herself as like the Ice Queen. Like, I don't get that sense. But she is like, she is kind of like, she's not surface level, but she's very like middle level. Like, they never have like a serious deep conversation. It's always like, yeah, you know what? I'm getting like, you know, like, I mean, like if you have like a middle serious conversation with like a person that works with you, you know what I mean? But it's not like the kind of deep conversations that you want to be experiencing with, you know, the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. So, I don't know. Do you get the same feeling?
I do. I have a hard time kind of figuring Lindsay out, and she certainly is funny and she's witty, which I think both of us probably like about her. And I think Ben likes about her too, but it's just, it's kind of hard. At this point, you're kind of thinking, how deep do you really go? And she keeps just saying, I'm getting more and more vulnerable. And I think that's a good card to play, especially in this kind of format. Because
it leaves the possibility that there's lots more
You don't
more
know
there.
Me yet. You don't know me yet. There's still a lot better to come.
Yeah,
that kind
yeah
of,
she's still hiding part of it. She's
and
still
so
hiding part of it.
Great card to play, but I am curious, is this Lindsay now? I mean, or is there more to come? It's really hard to... From what we've seen, at least, to be fair.
Yeah.
From what we've seen, it's hard to really know who Lindsay is, apart from being sweet and funny.
Yeah, she could be, you know, like, she could be one of those girls that, like, once they get on a one-on-one date and they have to actually have serious conversations, like, whoa, this is totally not gonna work. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I will say that Lindsay, she's sweet. She seemed the most hesitant to accept the overnight stay key from Chris Harrison.
That's,
you know, she's like, I don't just do this with any guy, you know what I mean? And after she says yes, she has a forlorn look on her face, and I feel bad for her. I really do. I think she thinks that she has to, because she knows that the other girls are going to. And that's sad. It's kind of sad that that's like, you know, the situation of relationships these days, not just ones that occur on national television in extremely rare format, but
I want to ask you, do you think there's a chance, I mean, that a girl, we'll keep it to The Bachelor right now, we won't go into Bachelorette, but within The Bachelor, is there a chance a girl wins, gets proposed to at the end without doing an overnight?
Ah, absolutely. I mean, I think it depends on the person. I mean, and if Lindsay had said no, like, maybe that sets her apart. Maybe that is, like, something that Ben's like, ooh, oh my goodness, you know?
So I was going to ask you, which girl you thought would have the best, would maybe be advantageous to them?
Yeah, Lindsay, absolutely.
Lindsay, okay.
Or, not Casey, maybe before he met her parents, because I think it would have played into that whole thing. And then, you know, like, the other thing is, like, I felt so bad for Lindsay because she easily got the worst, like, fantasy suite shot out of all the girls, like the most provocative one, and she was like the least like wanting to go and like be willing to participate in the fantasy suite, and then she gets easily the worst shot, like with them making out on the bed and like her dress like up her back, and I was just like, God, I feel so bad for her. Like, she's probably watching this at home and being like, oh, I'm so embarrassed, you know what I mean?
So you're sympathizing with Lindsay a little bit through that.
Absolutely. So, about KCB coming back, what do you think her main objectives were?
I'm going to give KCB some credit and try and forget about the fact that she was probably, you know, paid to come. Well, she might have been. That, you know, I'll try and forget about the fact that the show might have been, you know, enticing her to come back in some way. And I will give her some credit and say that Ben really didn't give her much of an explanation. She didn't really seek it out when she left the show. And did care about Ben. I mean, maybe not...
Yeah, whether it was warranted or not, she really
was in love
with
thank
Ben.
You. And so the fact that she wanted some answers, totally fair, and I really do think that was a part of it. She wanted a little bit of closure. She wanted a little
I'm sure a lot of other girls wanted a little bit more of an explanation, too. Like, did that give them the right to... And Chris Harrison was like, do you want KCB in the rose ceremony tonight? Like, giving her a chance to be in the... And it's like, whoa, dude. Like, why does this girl get to come back? I don't know. Like, I was just like, oh, hey, Ben, this is a conversation that I'm going to make you have to break up with me a second time. Also, at the end, I'm going to mention some things about Courtney, but, you know, you could tell by Ben's face, he was like, oh, I thought I had already was done with this, like, had this, like, wiped off, like, didn't need, you know, this drama was gone.
But to that, I think that because of the way Ben, I mean, because I've progressively liked Ben less and less, I kind of liked the fact that he was put on the spot a little bit, and the girl was really just like, come on. Like, try to be honest. And he really wasn't even that honest. I mean, he didn't really say anything.
Nah. Speaking of being honest.
Together in the end, is what he said.
Well, I mean, that's legitimate.
He already said that.
So, speaking of being honest, let's break down, I want you to break down Courtney for me. I think, let's prognosticate next week. I think Courtney wins. I think Ben, I want to say he, like, is borderline proposed, like, slash puts the ring on the other finger and says that he wants, like, to develop the relationship more. You know, I don't think he's going to be like, let's get married tomorrow.
None of them do with this show, to be fair.
Well, some of them
Well,
do.
I guess Emily and Brad were pretty, it seemed like they were going to get married pretty quick. Yeah. But they didn't, but it seemed like they would.
They never do. So, like, all right, so what parts of Courtney do you think are genuine? I think that's the better question than asking what parts are fake, because I think is going to save us some time here.
I think she's definitely worried about not getting Ben in the end.
She's playing the game. She's genuinely playing the game.
It's just kind of, if you want to look at percentages, is it, how much is it playing the game and how much is it her being crazy? I don't think any of it is just honestly, just straight up normal true love. I really think she's one of...
I'm not even asking about... Okay, no, I mean, I'm glad you brought that up. I think the love part, you're 100% correct. Like, I think that she wants to win. I think that her sentiments about feeling a little embarrassed about the way that she behaved towards the other girls are completely fake. And she knows that she needs to put that on.
I mean, that's playing the game right there.
Ben talks about how he thinks that, like, she's a little nerdy and, like...
She's not nerdy at all. She's weird.
A little weird, yeah. She's out there. Do you think that's genuine, or do you think that she does that for Ben?
I think she's crazy and weird.
You know how she's like, oh, look at this over here. That's crazy.
No, I think that's put on. I think that's like when a ditzy girl pretends to be ditzier because she knows that's her role.
But you think that she's somewhat like that?
I guess a little bit, but I think that she's exaggerating it. Like when Ben, when they saw the gnomes or something, and Ben started dancing.
Yeah, I guess that's what I'm talking
about.
She
started dancing. Like, I mean, I get that she's going to join in, but like, it just seems so forced. Like, that's not natural Courtney.
I don't know. I kind of think it is. I kind of think that she is really weird.
Yeah, but weird. We're not saying weird in a good way, right?
No, absolutely not.
Because
we're just saying, like,
because weird could be. I mean, some guys would be like they want kind of quirky.
Yeah, weird. I think Ben is interpreting it as quirky, right. But it's really just weird. But
okay.
I think the weirdness
is
genuine.
Yes.
I think everything else is fake.
Okay.
But we can both agree that Ben
I don't think it's all fake. I think part of it is just craziness. And then, like, when she starts crying, like, I don't think she's necessarily fake crying. She might be.
Yeah,
she's
really.
But I think she's also just crazy.
God, we don't know. I mean, like, she is tough to break down. Because she could be... I would love to hear her take on it. Like, what she was faking,
what if
she
was
wasn't.
Just super normal and just... explained everything away and was just like it just described how she was acting the whole time. I would actually be like, that was amazing. I would give her an Oscar.
I would give her, I'd give her props for sure. Yeah, so I think I gotta give my Con Air blown moment of the week to KCB for coming in and
coming back.
coming back and wanting, you know, making him break up with her a second time. And then, like, when she leaves the room, just falling on the floor. And, I mean, it's like, don't put yourself through that. Like, you already got dumped. You know, like, it's I mean, what do you think's going to happen? He's going to be like, you know what? You're right. Let's keep you in the competition. You know, I don't think
she was really seeking that, but I know what you're saying. Yeah, she wasn't like the guy in Ashley's season, whatever his name was. The really happy guy that came back.
I mean, you're right. Yeah, you're right about that. I will also say, like, the weirdest, most awkward moment is Nikki's brother. Oh, that's from the previous episode.
You can still say it, though.
He gives the weirdest look I've ever seen in my life to Ben. Like, he kind of just, like, gives him, like, this really weird...
I described it because I don't remember.
They're sitting at the dinner table, and, like, Ben is talking, and he's looking at him, and he's giving him, like, kind of, like, an affirming look, but, like, in the way that, like, Todd from The Wedding Crashers does. Like, really weird brother.
Okay. Yeah. Todd from The Wedding Crashers. Good point.
Yeah. And then at the end, he's like, you know what? I gotta admit, I kind of like the guy. And it's like, all right, weirdo. Thanks for your input. Anyway,
You can just contribute to Nikki getting sent home.
Yeah.
I predicted Nikki getting sent home like 4 weeks ago, so I was off on Nikki. Well, chip more than I thought.
This has been a tough season to predict. What do you think? You think Courtney, right?
I mean, yeah. Who doesn't think Courtney?
Do you think he's gonna propose?
Yes.
An engagement.
He's gonna propose an engagement, but he's not gonna marry.
A long engagement.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think Ben wants to marry any girl.
Predict Ben's words. On his knees.
I can see myself spending my life with you. I'm falling in love with you, and I can see myself spending my life with you.
Okay, I'm gonna add to it.
Do it.
I'm falling in love with you. I can see myself spending the rest of my life with you, and I would love to continue developing this relationship and see where it takes us on this magical journey in life.
Yeah.
And I think it's gonna bring us closer together.
Yeah. So what does he say to Lindsay? I'm going to feel so shitty for Lindsay.
I'm not. Because I don't think that she's really opened up 100%. But you know, like, I think that she's 75%.
If I see that she's actually upset about it, I'm going to be upset.
Lindsay's going to be fine. Lindsay's good looking. You know, she's, she might have a good personality. I don't know. She might be the next Bachelor after Emily, the race car girl. I don't know. Yeah, so I don't know. I am gonna feel bad for her. Yeah, but like also at the same time, it's like I mean I think she probably sees it coming.
You think? Maybe.
Oh,
maybe
that's a good question. That's a good question. Do you think she sees it coming?
And
that's why she's withholding a little bit because she's definitely withholding.
So do you think that she just thinks he's gonna choose Courtney?
Yeah, like, we've agreed that she's withholding, and one hypothesis is that she's doing it to seem elusive, and the other is because she knows that he's going to choose Courtney. And maybe even Chris Harrison tipped her off, and he's like, listen, girl, Ben is crazy. He's going to choose Courtney. Don't get yourself too involved, because I don't want to see you get hurt. You seem like a really nice person, and Ben
went to Chris and was like, I think I'm going to leave. And he was like, you're right, he's probably going to choose Courtney, but just hang in there. He maybe will change his mind, but just don't get too attached. Have some fun. We serve you a lot of free alcohol. We're going to take you to Switzerland. We're going to take
Switzerland.
And so she's just like, okay. And then she's never said she loves him. She just keeps saying, I'm falling in love. Yeah. That's the kind of the Bachelor cop out. I'm falling in love.
Right. I'm falling and I have like, you know, like I've begun to have a toe off the cliff.
One of the analogies I made up.
It's like rappelling is like, you know, the only thing you have in life is each other. Anyway, I'm not going to give a spark of the week, even though we do appreciate Big Disposable Lighters as a loyal sponsor of the program. America's number one disposable lighter. I don't think that there's
wasn't a true spark this week. Once this right, late in the game, give it to, it's hard to
might
find
give, I might give it to Tyler Taylor in the next segment. Who knows?
Yeah. We're going to just... It's like rollover minutes. It's rolling over into the UMT segment, and we're going to get the Spider-Man...
No, a singular wireless reference. Oh, my goodness, man. I haven't heard a singular wireless reference in forever. I like that. All right, so we doubled our time that we were aiming for.
But
so
that's
we're
still
not doing
what
well.
We had done.
All right, so we're going to fly through the next segment. People who want to displace themselves from this podcast, we encourage you not to do that and to listen to our commentary on UNC. But if you must, we bid you adieu. and let's continue on to talk about UNC basketball. Julian, you good with that?
I am great with that.
Okay.
That was very succinct. There's a lot more succinct. We're working on it. This was our first attempt at the new format. My first instinct is that it went fairly well.
Sure. Segment two, here we go. Let's break down UNC. I think since we last spoke, Julian, retained the unbeaten in the Deendom streak against Clemson.
Yes.
And then we trounced, I would say. Well, not trounced, but I think we fairly put down a North Carolina State team in Raleigh that was very up for the game.
It was a close first half. Certainly.
Close first half. The end score is 86-74, so it's a 12-pointer. I think that, you know, that's fairly indicative of how the game was for most of the part. Then we go to Virginia, Virginia game that was a tough one to watch. A 54-51 win. Got some stuff to talk about in there. I mean, that was easily one of the most frustrating games I've ever watched on television. And then had Maryland at home last night on senior night. Tyler Zellers, big night, scores 30 points, and we wear gray uniforms. So we got a lot to talk about.
Platinum jerseys.
Platinum. Nike Platinum Elite.
According to Nike.
Nike Elite Platinum.
We
want to
give
jerseys.
Nike the props. They were platinum.
Sure. So let's talk about this. This summary of games, we get a regular, nothing special win over Clemson, a regular, nothing special win over NC State.
Well, let's not say nothing special because Kendall Marshall put up, 24 points?
That's true.
So that shows
a little versatility.
And he was 4 of 5 three-pointers, I believe, in that game.
Which is huge.
They got some comparisons to Jeremy Lin from his teammates.
All right, well...
That's a quote from Harrison Barnes. He said, I thought I was playing with Jeremy Lin.
That's a little Lin-rageous. Oh, wait, did I do that wrong? I don't know.
Lin-rageous?
Yeah, that's right. I don't think that fits. So North State's always amped up to play us at home. It's their Super Bowl. It's their national championship. Jim Valvano national championship game every year. A win there is great. A win there is good. You know, you feel good about, especially a 12-point win, you feel good about that. Like, having a game comfortably in hand there, you feel good about. Especially with, you know, a performance from Kendall Marshall like that, you're like, whoa, maybe there's a new dimension to our team that we see in the tournament that's, I mean, if he does that, we're tough to deal with. You know what I mean? That's a completely different dimension to the team. So then we head to Virginia, I don't know, like, it's just such an ugly, ugly squeaker of a win where we just missed so many chippy early opportunities. And then we just thumped Maryland last night. So, like, what do you make of this stretch of games from Clemson to Maryland, that set of four games? What do you make of it? Does it make you like or dislike our chances to win at all?
My overall feeling is positive because we won all of them.
Hey man, that means something. Amen, brother.
UVA, yes, I agree completely. That was ugly, but we won. And sure, they missed some shots, but we don't know what would have happened if they had made some more shots. The end result was we won the game away.
We missed some shots too.
Exactly.
I mean,
and we won a low scoring game, which is something that, you know, we've always been challenged to do, and. That's great. We want to be able to when we get into the tournament, we want to be able to beat those Big Ten teams. We want to be able to win the games in the 50s if we have to.
Yeah. No,
course, if we can, we want to set the pace. And North Carolina wants to always play fast. But we're not always going to be able to do that.
Right. No one has beaten us by imposing a different style against us. And I think that there's something to be said about that, like that this team is capable of pulling out victories mm-hmm. in extreme circumstances.
Yeah.
I think that that's something that you have to win in the tournament. Right. I will say that just, you know, during that Virginia game, it seemed like we didn't even have a half-court offense at all. Like, it seemed like we were like, oh, get it over to Harrison Barnes. Like, Harrison, do something. I don't know. Right. Like, we pass it down, they double down, and then we pass it back out, and they're there. Like, maybe Virginia's just that good defensively, but it seemed like they completely took us out of our half-court offense, which is something that I do not like to see happen, because I want my North Carolina teams to impose their will on other teams and not adjust their style to win basketball games according mm-hmm. to the style. I agree that it's a fantastic trait to be able to adjust your style to win games of a variety of natures. Mm-hmm. However, I like my Carolina teams to impose their will on other teams. And I did not see that happen, so it's a little bit of a concern for me.
I definitely think it's a concern, and I think when you look at, I mean, Zeller is our true post player. Henson is a post player, but he's kind of unique in his style and his ability. Zeller is the guy they love to double down on, and he does not do well with double teams. If you get it into him, he turns it over a lot, he misses a lot of shots, and if he's kicking it out and then we're not hitting three-pointers, that's really just destroys our half-court
game. Even against Maryland, we didn't shoot the ball well. I think mm-hmm. that we're going to need to shoot the ball well when it comes down to it in the tournament. I think we're going to need to.
I mean, I agree. I don't think we're going to need to necessarily in every game, because I think sometimes Zeller and Henson are just going to be too much. But against good teams or against teams that play defense a certain way, sometimes
there's going to be a game where we just need to hit threes. You know, we need to hit like six or seven threes.
It's our biggest weakness, and if we can hit threes, I think we're unbeatable. I really think we're the best team in the country if our guys can hit threes.
Well,
I mean, Kentucky's the only other team.
Syracuse? Have you seen Syracuse play lately?
I've seen them play.
They're good.
No, they're good.
And they're very confident. Like, they just yam on people. They're good. And they play good defense. Anyway, I think either of those games would be... I would like to see us play those teams, because I think that we would be in any game that we play in from
it's
here
not,
on out.
I think this is a good year. I think if you win the national championship this year, you can definitely say you won in a decent year, because there are some good college teams out there.
It's more of an 05 year than an 09 year.
Exactly.
There's a set of teams that could win it, and we're going to see who the true champion is. I guess, you know, the only thing that's left to talk about is, you know, heck, we got the Duke game on Saturday. It's shaping up to be all or nothing. Winner takes the ACC regular season title.
Yes.
What do you expect from the game? What are you expecting?
I'm going out slightly on a limb here. I think that we win by 15 points.
You think we're going to cruise?
I think we're going to cruise. Okay. I think the fact that we've been winning is going to do something for our confidence. I think we're going to have recovered a little bit from the Duke loss, and I think we're going to be a little bit angry. I think we're going to win this game by 10-15 points.
Yeah, and you heard that in some of the post game comments last night. I mean, I think this team is definitely honed in for that game. I don't know, just because the nature of how Duke is with shooting threes and being in Cameron in that environment. Like, I couldn't tell you the last time a team went into Duke, went into Cameron and beat Duke by double digits. You know what I mean?
I
couldn't tell you the last time.
Miami won a close game, right?
In overtime, in overtime.
And Florida State won the last second shot.
You know what I mean? But if there's a team to do it, I think we're the team to do it in the ACC, obviously, because we're, you know, the next or the more talented team.
I just think we're due to have a game where everything clicks. We're shooting well. Our big guys play well. Like, I just could see it. I could see us really having a good game.
Just, you know, like, the thing for me is, like, this team just hasn't shown that intensity factor, like, the just desire to impose their will on an opponent and just really punish them and, like, step on their throats, so to speak. You're thinking you could see this is the game that we just come out and we have, like, the furrowed brow the entire game, and we're like, there's no way we're losing this game.
I kind of think so.
Okay. I mean, no, I like that. I hope you're right. I want you to be. I want you to be right. So bad. So badly.
I mean, obviously, Duke has the ability to shoot threes a good amount,
which I think it'll keep it. You know, again, it's the same thing in the other game in the Deendom is, you know, they kept it 10, 12 the whole time because they were just popping threes. But I think since then they've gotten more confident in their ability to hit 25 to 30 foot threes, which is a concern.
Seriously. That. Yeah.
You watch a game, and they are just launching from wherever they want to and making it.
I mean, Coach K just gives, like, several guys on the team green lights. Like, if you feel open, shoot it.
Right. It's a concern. And they've been making them. It's a concern. Yeah. It's a concern. I do think that that's a dangerous strategy because if you go into the tournament, and if you have a game where shots just aren't falling, you're out. You're done.
Yeah,
which
and I
is,
feel like
you know,
Roy's,
that's plagued Duke.
I can't attest to it. But I feel like he's said before, like, when teams are shooting threes a lot, you obviously want to play solid defense, but he also plays the odds a little bit the style he wants to win games. Like, the way he wants to play fast and say, we're going to turn the ball over, they're going to get a lot of points, but we're going to get more. And I think he has the same attitude toward three-pointers. They're going to shoot a lot of threes, but eventually they're going to start missing them. Sometimes they don't, but most of the time they do.
Sometimes they go through a 2-minute and 30-second spurt where they get hit everything.
right.
All right, let's roll on. Tyler Zeller, ACC Player of the Year.
I mean, Mike Scott's the other front runner, probably, right?
Austin Rivers, some consideration. Also,
yeah,
Dan
I
Henson,
put
that.
I honestly haven't seen UVA play enough.
The comparison there is that.
But I would put Zeller over Rivers. I would say that.
So Zeller and Scott played each other at UVA on Saturday or Sunday, and Zeller had 25 points, and Mike Scott had 6 points.
To be fair, he got in, like, foul trouble super early.
Yeah, to be fair, that's his fault.
Agreed. But that was a bad game for him.
Right. But to be fair, when you're measuring who is the most valuable player of a league and they're playing against each other in a game and one person doesn't show up and gets into trouble or has a bad game, that's
to
be taken into consideration.
It's not the only thing to consider.
I don't like what you're saying. Well,
otherwise, Zeller,
yeah, the only thing.
Rivers would win it over Zeller because of him. He hit that three-pointer in Zeller's face in the Deendom.
Okay. Well, we still have one more Duke game to see what happens there.
Okay. No, I mean, I know what you're saying. Mike Scott did not show up that game. And the only reason I'm saying Mike Scott is because everyone else is saying Mike Scott. I haven't seen UVA play a whole lot.
And Roy Williams made it very clear that he thinks that the teams that finish with the best record, those players that are most valuable to those teams should get a higher value, you know.
I was mad last year. We didn't get any player first team at all ACC, and we won the ACC, and that was ridiculous to me.
Right, it was. You know, Tyler Zeller had 30 last night.
20 of them at the free throw line, but he did have 30.
Well, that's because they kept fouling him when he was posting up.
I know. It was just funny. It wasn't his best game, but he got a lot of points, which is great.
Right. So do you think Tyler still has some work to do?
I think Zeller should get player
on Saturday.
I think he should get it.
If he scores 8 points and has 4 rebounds on Saturday, basically is shut down, according to his standards, he still wins ACC Player of the Year in your eyes. Or do you think that he needs to show up on Saturday? You think he needs to do work on Saturday to go ahead and solidify that?
I think he needs to do work on Saturday.
Fair enough.
I think this is a marquee game. Duke and Cameron for the ACC Championship. You know, it's like when they do Heisman stuff, you gotta play big in the important games.
Listen, if Austin Rivers scores 30 points again on Saturday, then, you know, people are going to remember that because they're voting right after that. So that's the way it is. All right, last question. This is a serious question. This is a serious question. It's a holistic question. How do you think, right now, if the season ended right now, or even prognosticating into the future, how do you think this North Carolina Tar Heel team will be remembered?
Ooh. And if it ended right now, we didn't do anything else?
No, so I'm not going to say that. I'm saying predict the future, predict what happens. How do you think this team will be remembered?
I say, even if we win national championship, even if we win it all, I think people are going to put this team under 05 and under 09. Okay. I think they're going to be third best out of those three.
Yeah, but what's our identifying factor? Like, what's our fingerprint in the history of Carolina basketball? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. What do you think? I mean, so you're saying what are the identities of our other great teams? I mean, when I think of 97, 98, I just think of crazy alley-oop dunks,
crazy alley-oop
Carter
dunks.
And Jameson from Coda, over the place.
05.
I think Sean May going
Sean
crazy
May's
and
performance in the, yeah, in the Final Four, and you've got Raymond Felton, you know, kind of hitting a huge shot at the end in the last game. I don't know. I think that's a solid kind of like all around good team.
09, everyone's going to remember Hansbrough, of course.
Well, I think 09, everyone's going to say they just beat the shit out of everyone.
True, but if you want, I mean, that was an awesome team, but Hansbrough was one of the amazing college players to go through basketball. Everyone loves him. I mean, he was a great college basketball player.
Right.
Maybe not everyone loves him because some people had to play against him. But
yeah. And then you've got Ty Lawson and Wayne Ellington and
Green,
who are all playing significant minutes in the NBA right now. So
it's hard for me to choose an identity for this team. I mean, I think Henson is a player that stands out the most because he's different than everybody else.
Let me give you what
Vincent
I think.
Marshall,
you tell
connection.
Me what you think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's what I hope it's not.
Okay.
Here's
we'll
what I hope
there.
It's not.
We'll start there.
I hope that this team is not remembered as the team that could not harness the intensity required to put a team away when they needed to.
Yeah.
Which is a huge question mark right now. A lot of people are saying that. They just don't know if this team has the intensity factor, you know, the furrowed brow that we talked about, like the will to just, you know, kind of put a team away and, you know, like kind of crush their hopes of getting back into a game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hope that that's not the identity of this team. I fear that it could be. The identity of the team. I think if we lose in the tournament, I think if we lose in the tournament to anybody but like Syracuse or a Kentucky in a close game, that is how this team will be remembered. I think that in addition to that, especially if we win it, that this team will be remembered for its chemistry. I don't think there's ever been a more tight-knit team, chemistry-wise, on and off the court than this team.
They're certainly very close. You can tell that they're... Yeah.
They're very close.
So you think that translates very well into chemistry on the court? Because it's very clear that they're very good friends.
Yeah, the problem is they just don't have one guy that's going to, like, you know, take over and be, like, the emotional leader on the court, you know, like You know, I mean, Tyler Hansbrough wasn't that kind of guy, but you know what I mean? Like, just, you know,
he definitely
like,
was that type of guy.
Well, he was in action, but not as much in, like, vocally. But, like, somebody that's just going to be like, listen, we're not losing this game. Like, get it together, you know?
Yeah.
It's, I don't know. Like, maybe they, but again, like, I've said it all year. Maybe we see a completely different team.
And I remember discussing the 05 team in the ACC tournament and just feeling like there's no way this team is going to win. And we lost to Georgia Tech in the semifinals, and
they barely beat Clemson in the first round.
Yeah, we didn't look good. And now we remember them as one of the best.
You're right. No, you're right. You're right.
Yeah. So I mean, it's always easier to judge once we know the whole story.
That's the thing is,
we don't know the whole story yet.
What we do know is that this team ever since. All of the three NBA draft candidates decided to come back last April or May or whatever, that this team was built for a run in March. And March isn't here yet. So maybe we've only seen 50 or 70% of the capability of this team. You know, you don't want to say that because obviously ACC games are competitive, but like maybe this team's got another level.
Another
year. Maybe they're going to drop the hammer, put it in sixth, and just roll in the tournament.
And the thing
roll,
is, like,
you know what I mean?
Kendall Marshall is really, really good. Tyler Zeller is really good. John
Henson is
really good.
Harrison Barnes really
is
good.
Really good.
And Reggie Bullock. Reggie Bullock is starting to make some shots. Right.
But I'm saying we have Bullock is I like Bullock. I'm a fan of Bullock. But we've got four guys on there that we all know are excellent basketball players. If we could just really see them push into that next gear.
They don't seem to have figured out how to delineate responsibilities and, you know, who's going to get the ball when and, you know, their roles on the team that well. Like, sometimes we seem like, oh, who's going to take the shot? I don't know. But I don't know. They're fun to watch. I like it. I think they're going to do well.
Marshall is incredible. I love Kendall Marshall.
He's incredible. He is certainly fun to watch.
I really love it. I was a big Ed Cota fan back in the day, and he's reminding of that.
He surpassed Ed Cota for the UNC single season assist record mark. So shout out to Kendall Marshall there. Maybe that's the Bic spark of the week. Maybe it is. Maybe it's Tyler Zeller having 30 points on senior night in his Nike Elite Platinum jersey. Speaking of those Nike Elite Platinum jerseys, what'd you think about this?
I think Maryland did us what's the opposite of favor? A disfavor?
They were discourteous.
Discourteous to us by wearing black.
I agree.
Our jerseys did not pop against the black. There wasn't enough contrast. It didn't look that good. They should have worn red, or even, as gaudy, in Gray's words, as gaudy as it is, the yellow would have looked better than the black.
I was flipping shocked that they wore black.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't so bad that you didn't know who had the ball, but it was bad enough to where our jerseys did not look awesome. And that's kind of what we wanted to happen.
Right. My thoughts were, you know, this is like a Nike special promo that a lot of teams have done, like the Hyper Elite Platinum Series or whatever.
No big deal.
And they're just kind of designed to be, you know, like very dark gray, pretty like solidly dark gray. There's not a ton of highlight of, you know, team color involved in there. So, conceptually, I think Nike accomplished what they wanted to. From my perspective, if this was going to be a permanent alternate jersey for us, I would not like that.
I agree.
However, I will say that I do think that gray would be the best color of a permanent alternate jersey for us.
Here's what I agree, but I think it needs to be
even though I
darker.
Know that.
It needs to be darker.
Darker? I was going to go lighter.
No, because I think part of the problem is the light blue isn't popping on that medium gray.
That's because they recessed it behind the white letters, and I think there needs to be...
So you can still make that blue pop against that color gray? Because
I think it needs to be lighter. I think it needs to have the same argyle, and I think it needs to have much more prominent...
Because we did the lighter gray in our really horrible year.
That was too light. It was too light. I want something in the middle of those. Something in the middle of those. And it had white letters on it. There's no Carolina blue on those jerseys.
Okay, well, that's different because my issue right now is that the blue isn't popping on the gray. So if you're taking the blue out and just making it white, then
well, that's
I
what
agree.
They did. That's what I'm telling you about the jerseys that we wore in 2010.
Oh, right.
They were just
I see
white.
What you're saying. But you want the blue still with.
I think the blue needs to be much more prominent. I said last night that if...
Just more of it everywhere.
If the team had all worn blue undershirts underneath those jerseys, if they might have looked a little better. But if we were going to have a third alternate jersey that was going to be gray, I'd like it to be, you know, a couple shades lighter and have some much more prominent Carolina blue features to it.
I'm going the opposite way. I want us to go a couple of shades darker, but then the light blue.
No, it's like it's black, basically.
Not quite. It's a charcoal. I want a charcoal. I don't want it to look black, but I want it to be...
Well, we have to look at the Pantone labels, too, because there is a gray color that I think is a part of our official school color, so it would be interesting to see what that is.
We're going to change our podcast name?
Gravy. Gravy by nature. Let's talk football. Crazy. Let's talk football uniforms. The helmets. First of all, tight end coach Walt Bell is Belt. Is it Bell or Belt? I don't know. If you guys don't follow him or if you want to follow Navy by Nature, we tend to do a really good job of retweeting or posting pictures of new helmets and uniform combinations and just things that people are drafting up. There is a series of uniforms that were released, a set of four helmets that were released lately, that were the white helmet that we know that we're going to see this year. A light silver helmet that kind of resembles the Detroit Lions.
Okay. Or Cowboys?
Or Cowboys, yeah, sure.
Or Panthers. Yeah, there's several teams that go that route with it. Well, I actually am against it.
With the stripe, it's more Cowboys and Lions. And then we get the dark pewter helmet again.
What's the source of these four helmets?
They literally have four of these helmets. And
just chilling in UNC.
One of the coaches took a picture of them at a press conference.
I've seen the pewter one before, definitely, and I know about the white
obviously.
One.
I've seen, and this link again is on at Navy by Nature's Twitter feed. If you want to get on there, and there's, you know, I think we might have mentioned it before on, or the actual listing might be on the podcast page somewhere. But, you know, of those, well, first of all, we know we're going to see the white helmets,
which is great. Me and Gray have been saying for a long time, we have a lot of plans beyond the white helmet that we want to see happen.
Yeah,
saying a great first step would be, just come on, guys, let's at least introduce the white helmet. I mean,
If I'm introducing one color, it's not white, though. I'll tell you that much right now.
No, but we've thought that was a natural progression for a while.
Yeah, that's the easiest thing for people to do. And hats off to Larry Fedora and Bubba Cunningham, the athletic director, for incorporating the release of the white helmet into what is being marketed as a whiteout game against Georgia Tech. So it's great.
Unofficially? Is it officially?
It is official. So everybody's going to have white on. It's going to be in November.
Is that the first time that we've done that? Is a whiteout at UNC?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
We haven't had a lot of success ever trying to. Well, not that they've tried necessarily.
We haven't outed a lot of stuff.
Yeah,
no, we haven't. But you know, like I think that my concern for the whiteout is that it's going to be November. It's going to be cold. You know, they're going to have to give us T-shirts or something. Yeah, I mean, not a lot of people have white coats. So,
speak for yourself.
Right, I got a bad white UNC coat. I'm thinking.
Let's see, the basketball team will have white coats on.
I'll tell you what, I would like for our basketball team to wear the same warm ups from last night the rest of the year.
The gray ones?
Oh, the one thing about the gray jersey that I loved was the five stars across the top representing our five national championships. Huge fan of that.
Cool.
You know, Brazil does that. Brazilian national team soccer team does that stars to represent their World Cup championship.
I knew that, but you had to remind me of it. Yeah, I do.
Well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
I did like that. I will say, so then the other set of helmets were a set of four Nike Pro Combat prototype helmets, which is the kind where if you're thinking in your head like you've seen before, a team has a logo on one side and not on the other side. And the logo on the one side, which is usually the left side, is an oversized logo. We saw four or five examples of that on the internet as Nike Pro Combat prototypes.
Yeah.
Again, the one that I liked the best was kind of like a medium shade of blue with a light blue heel that was just a gigantic oversized heel. But you know, there's some pretty cool stuff in there.
Yeah, I know why you liked that helmet. I want to be strict with our color choices though. I'm okay with the gray because it's a neutral color. In terms of our navy and our light blue, I want us to kind of have that defined across the board as to what that's going to look like. Because I don't want us to get into more. You know, there's so much discrepancy as to what even color blue is.
I don't want us to get into
what is our navy. I want us to be conservative. In terms of which color it is, I want us to bring in.
Yeah, it's not designs, a huge concern for me. I mean, I think that if you do enough light and Carolina blue accent, then you know whatever else you put in the background is not a huge concern to me. I understand. I obviously want the navy. You know, I want the navy, but yeah. I did like this kind of like. was a little bit more modern, fresher, like a little bit lighter navy, kind of like medium blue. I think there was a gradient involved in it, and it was nice. I liked it. Posted under last week's podcast, which was not actually a podcast, was a link that basically put together every combination of uniform possibilities that UNC could have. You know what I'm talking about, Julian?
I remember. UG chatting me that.
Yeah, so I think that out of that, that's a great link to go to. For me, I think that beyond Navy, we got to have gray.
Yeah.
Got to have gray tops and gray bottoms. And
I'm totally cool with that, but I don't want anything else.
No. This is what I want. This is what I want you to give me. I want.
I'm in charge.
A helmet, jersey, and pants. In white, Carolina blue, navy, and gray. And then I want to do as many different combinations of that.
Right, that's like, I don't know, I'm not a calculator, but that's 60, 70, 80 combinations.
Who knows?
Not all of them work that well together, but we could definitely cool ones.
I mean, absolutely. You know, like, but just off the top of my head, it's like we're at home. And again, with navy and with gray, you want to have a ton of light blue accent on it. A ton of letters, you know, side paneling, whatever. But off the top of my head, it's like, hey, white pants with light blue all over the side, light gray jersey with light blue all over the side, and a gray helmet. Give it to me every time. With a white NC.
I mean, basically, we want to be Oregon with UNC colors. I mean, let's not shy away from that.
Let's not shy away from that at all. I mean, we're going to have light blue socks on. It's just, you know.
I'm huge on the socks. I think the socks are an awesome accent if everyone wears them, especially if they're bright. When Oregon in national championship game, when they wore those neon yellow socks, I thought it was awesome.
We have a neon light blue.
But we could do it for one game, do a neon.
Neon what?
Blue. Light blue.
Yeah, electric blue.
Electric blue, kind of like the Panthers, but lighter. But then a dark charcoal, and then Nike Combat Elite helmet.
I'm going to be fine with everything. You know you don't have to convince me, brother.
I was just contradicting myself in terms of being strict with our colors and not wanting to confuse them. But I would like to see that bright blue sock. I'd like to see the bright Carolina blue socks. That's really what I want to see. And bright Carolina blue gloves. And then dark charcoal.
You want the gloves to interlock and show the interlocking NC when they put them.
Or a ram head.
I don't like the ram head as much. I like the interlocking. Maybe the seal. What about the seal? No, I'm just kidding. Nobody likes the seal. It's too elaborate. The other thing that I'll say is that I really... Not only am I excited about this upcoming football season, but I appreciate Larry Fedora's efforts so far in kind of recruiting the state of North Carolina and leveraging our basketball success with recruiting. We've seen basically in-state in South Carolina recruits at every single basketball since he's taken over as the football coach.
Yeah, he's also taking his whole staff to camps.
To recruit,
which is not the norm. Normally, it's a few coaches, but he's taking everybody to help recruit the high schoolers.
He started this idea called the NC Dream Team, which has now become a hashtag on Twitter for the players, for these high school players to tweet back and forth to each other, so that when one signs with UNC, the other will tweet to a prospective player who might join NC's team, North Carolina's team. And they're like, hey, bro, you want to be a part of the NC Dream Team? And so it's like this big thing now that's like kind of sweeping. And if you haven't watched the Blue Dawn workout videos on TarHeelBlue.com, I highly recommend that.
Yeah,
those have been pretty amazing to watch. So there's a great one on today that's posted 1st of March where Larry Fedora explains kind of the concept behind Blue Dawn, why it's important and why the coaches use it to kind of, how they use it to look at players. So, I've been really impressed. I'm really excited about football season.
It's kind of been the case. I mean, basketball is always, we're a basketball school, but because of that, football, when we have chances to change and to improve, I think it makes it more exciting. as UNC fans, because not that we're complacent at all, because we want to, we love basketball, but it's fun to, football is just a different game. It's a different monster, and it's fun to be able to be a part of that.
It's a different environment, you know, going into Keenan Stadium for 3 hours and cheering on the Heels as they
and
come out.
Tailgating the place, an all-day event. I mean, since Butch Davis came, UNC started tailgating a little bit, which was fun.
Oh, the schedule was released, too. I'll say we
I was going to say, should we comment on that now, or should we maybe save that for next week?
Well, we got plenty of time. We got the whole summer to talk about it. But I will say it's a great schedule. We don't play anybody that has a bye week before they play us, so extra time to prepare for this new offense that's supposed to be pretty schematically complex. We have a bye week before Georgia Tech, which is fantastic.
Not that much, yeah.
And you know, I think other than that, it looks really good. I think it's going to be a fun season for football. I think that Bubba Cunningham and Larry are going to do a really good job.
It does feel like it's the right fit for right now, based on kind of what we've been through.
It does.
The last couple of years.
Fresh start. New North Carolina team. Some gray jerseys wouldn't hurt either. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe in a few years. We got to give them time.
Let it breathe.
They can't just throw that at our alumni and expect them to be cool with it. We're the new coach. We're in charge now. And by the way, we're in gray.
Well, here's my thing. It's way easier for us to sell gray to the alumni than navy, because all the alumni remember navy being Duke's primary color. So that's why.
It used to be.
Yeah, they were navy, so they, you know, they're like, "Oh, where are we wearing that Duke blue?" You know, so it is what it is. But
yeah, I mean, I don't remember. I don't know that Duke wore. You're telling me now that Duke wore used to wear navy, but I don't like it when people make royal blue and navy blue as the same color.
They're definitely not. They're certainly not.
I mean, Duke blue now, current Duke blue is not the same as Carolina navy.
Nope. No.
There's a big difference.
Not by a long shot.
Yes.
By a medium shot, for sure.
Medium shot.
So that's all I got. That's all I got for UNC sports. Baseball's starting to wind up, too, which is exciting. So if you have any interest in following the Diamond Heels, or have any interest in us covering any of the Diamond Heels progress, I got to be honest with you, I don't know jack about these baseball players, but we're supposed to be good again this year.
We were number 10 in the country last week.
We can certainly make concessions to cover baseball and their progress throughout the season if that's something people want. So,
and remember how to contact us at Navy by Nature on Twitter and NavyByNature@gmail.com.
Absolutely. And the site that these podcasts are located on have a comment field. It's really easy to.
Did we look at our stats at all? Do we still have New Zealand going strong or not really?
Man, I haven't looked, but, you know, just cause we got off schedule. We had a pretty strong, like, we're posting on Wednesday time, and then...
Yeah, that's on me, guys.
We do what we can, so...
Part of life. We all have day jobs. Unfortunately, this podcast isn't our day job.
I know, unfortunately. First and foremost, this is not, at the forefront of what we're responsible for, but... You know, it's like I said, it's out there for you guys to enjoy. So, you know, we're trying to do what we can, and we hope you guys enjoy it. And
all right. Well,
we'll continue to do what we're doing. Next week, we got the summary of what happens next week. Is Ben going to propose? Is it going to be Courtney?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That next week?
Oh no! It's the ladies tell all.
Yeah.
So ladies tell all.
So are we going to do that? We're going to do that one? We'll have the Duke game. Well, we'll certainly have the Duke game to do at the very least.
Yep. I think that there's going to be some ladies that are going to have some very pointed questions for Courtney. Including,
is she going to be there?
I think she's going to be there, including Emily. Our girl Emily is making a reappearance. So you know I'll be watching.
Yeah. Cool. So we'll cover the ladies till all and... Ooh, Carolina Duke for the ACC Championship in Cameron, 7 p.m.
The outright Saturday regular night. Season championship.
It doesn't get much better than that in terms of a matchup in college basketball.
Doesn't. And a chance for UNC to kind of put the put the curse of the other game behind them and move on and be mentally fit for a tournament run.
That win would certainly be...
be big.
A big confidence booster.
If Julian's prediction is correct and we not even we win by 15, but if we comfortably win that game, I think the boys are going to be pretty fired up.
Yeah.
Julian, it's been swell, my friend. I've enjoyed
it. It's been great.
Quality commentary. We definitely didn't keep it to 30 minutes. I can tell you that much right now.
We didn't. But yeah. I still felt good. Still felt good about it. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, we apologize to everyone out there who's not listening anymore. We'll try to shorten it down. We'll try to just keep kind of chopping it down and, you know, the Bachelorette's winding down, so it'll just be UNC Sports and maybe Game of Thrones or something like that. You know,
Game of Thrones!
Hey, man.
I love that show.
It's the TV and film podcast in the category.
Yeah, we're back down to like 1,000.
Number 200. No, I think we're at like 200 or something.
Okay.
So anyway, all right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. It's been swell. We've enjoyed being here. Tune in to The Bachelor on Monday, and before that, the Duke game on Saturday night, 7 p.m. And leave us your comments, leave us your emails and your tweets, and we will be here to address all of those topics starting.